Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, nigga, do what it do, baby.
Hit that rain stuff off. He's trying to represent.
Oh.
Fellas, Rob doesn't know what team he's going for. He's got like probably six or seven teams, but it's all good, you know.
Hey man, you've been a bad influence on me, Drake. You've been a bad influence on me, Drake.
I've always been like a.
You're a Hawks fan, always... Warriors fan.
Family, yep, that's right. See, that's only two.
Yep.
Rob got the Rays, Rob got the Yankees, he's got the Giants, you know, we don't know. But I will tell you, deep down, when I was a little kid, I was a Dolphins fan, back whenever they had the Clayton Duper brothers and the Marx brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in there, there's a mini Dolphin fan in there, too, before I could, like, I've been in Atlanta for a long time, but I just enjoyed the Dolphins.
You've been a bad influence. You're a Colts fan, Falcons fan, you're a Dolphins fan.
I'm Colts because I wasn't in yet, but you know. But I'm saying, like, this was before the days whenever you had to have, like, you had internet to follow your teams. You know, I was a young guy. You know, whenever you left your area, you're kind of like prone to the area that you were in. And I was actually in Texas, so you can't help but, you know, like the Cowboys at one point too. But it's just, you know, you kind of grew out of certain things, so you know,
can't
it's in
it.
There. It's in there.
Jesus.
Grab Lou here as always. Oh man. But again, we are officially ready to talk some sports. We had a, what's up, Lou? We had a hiatus last week, but we are officially back. Rob, I'm going to check
good.
In. JQ is going to be joining us late, but we will go around the horn with a quick check in and just to see how everyone's doing on this fantastic evening, if you will. This is actually season 6, episode 213, if you will. But Rob, how you feeling, bro?
Hey, feeling great. LSU advanced to the Super Regionals this weekend. So you got to go down to Knoxville.
Nice.
And win 2 out of 3. So, hey, yeah. Feeling good. Got the double dose of asparagus in today. So, life is good.
Life is good, Drake. All right. Gary, how are you feeling, sir?
I'm doing good. Missed the show last week, but glad to be back out here. Went through a whole bunch of, you know, all my back testing I had to do and at work.
Ooh,
first day back.
I'm sorry.
And I got another couple of days of this stuff, and then I'll be compliant again and ready to rock and roll.
Good.
There it is. Yes. He's dreading feeling compliant. He's like, oh, man. That was painful getting back to that routine, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, like I said,
how you feeling,
until
man?
One day we're rich, so we'll be good. But how you feeling, as Rob said?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah,
no,
I'm talking to you.
You know what? I'm doing good. We're ready to get to business tonight. Is Curtis on the air?
Curtis, yeah. Let's check in, Curtis. Go ahead.
How you feeling, Curtis?
Hey, I just want to say, for me, life is a struggle, but I'm still living it and still loving it.
Right.
Keep that attitude up, Curtis, man. You're an inspiration as always, man.
Hey, absolutely.
So we appreciate
your strength
you.
Is very
yep.
inspiring, so keep fighting, brother.
Gotcha. Lou, how you feeling, man? I'm just happy. You okay, man? We talked about
yeah,
a chance to rub it in about the Knicks, but
ago.
It's all good.
But
But hey, the Nets are still in, so it's not a total loss for me yet.
There you go. All right. All good. Hey, let's go ahead and get the party started.
Andre, you got to talk to Gary. You're trying to rub it in about the Knicks, too.
I'm not trying to rub anything in. I mean, I was just trying to get some representation Well, the real reason why, Lou, is because, you know, the topics, there's nothing about the Hawks and the topics, you know. So, again, you know, that's okay. You know, I figure Rob is not trying to show any love. But, you know, obviously we lost tonight, a tough game. But, you know, we have been playing pretty well. Trey's been playing pretty well. And, you know, I'm just happy to get some representation here.
Although
so,
tonight,
you know,
was a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, tonight was rough. I figured we had to have one of those games, believe it or not. We have every now and then we have one of those tough games, and just, you know, our shooting was off, and just, you know, it seems like Philly didn't want to back down. So
in the first quarter was a massacre. Yeah.
Well, we came back, you know, so that's all that matters. We still weren't shooting. We're missing bunnies, and, you know, just it's all good. But, you know,
right.
For all that said, you know, they got their game in, and, you know, I'd rather have, you know, that one game early than late. So that's all that matters. But anyway.
Yes.
All good. Let's check in with we'll throw the numbers out really quickly, and we'll get this party started. Always call that same number, 424-243-9519. That's the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook, which is facebook.com/talkingsports and 1200 Sports. We are on that as well. So I guess we're going to skip over the the 76ers Hawks game. We're going to do a quick update and preview on the Jazz Clippers series as well, too. So I'll let Rob start us off, and then we'll go around the horn as always. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, Clippers off to a great start in this game, up by 10 points here in the second quarter. And it seems to be a little bit of a carryover from the game on Sunday against Dallas. And I had the privilege of – I was – on a almost a three-hour flight on Sunday, and I watched the whole game on a flight, and the Clippers in Dallas, and the Clippers' defense was outstanding in the second half against Dallas, and you see that it's carried over to this game, too. They're really playing some really outstanding defense in this game, and you go back to that game on Sunday in the second half when they put Kawhi Leonard on Luka, you know, it really slowed Luka down in that game. Obviously this game is far from over, but the Clippers have really stepped it up and intensified the defensive end. So it's going to be a really interesting series. I think whoever wins out of the Clippers and the Jazz is going to the NBA Finals. That's my gut feeling. And I like to see Phoenix go. I'm a big Monty Williams fan. You know, I think he's a great guy. And I love to see Phoenix be that team. But I think the winner of this Jazz-Clippers series is going to the finals. And the Jazz are without Mike Conley tonight, too, and that's a big blow when you're without your third-best player in a big game like this, too. So, you know, we'll see if it, you know, is going to prevent them from winning this game tonight. But you can see the Clippers really stepped it up on a defensive end, and it's a carryover from Sunday.
Don't talk about Gary's favorite player, Paul George. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think Jerry is hoping that the Clippers don't win the championship, so Paul George will leave and go join Dame in Portland.
God.
Rob, come on, Rob. What did I ever do to you? So just watching the first quarter.
Let's see. How long am I calling this show now?
The first quarter of this game. You know, it seemed like the Jazz were, you know, they're down a body on offense, and then they have their center, which is no offensive threat whatsoever, on there. So it seems like they're playing almost like 3-on-5, but they were still getting open looks in this game and just missing them. So for a team that, you know, led the league in three-pointers. You know, throughout the season, that they're going to turn that around and get those open looks. I think it's less about the defense and more about them missing wide open threes like they did in the first quarter. If they turn that around, the Jazz will be fine. If they don't, it's going to be a rough one for them.
Ty Lue just made an interesting move where he brought in the Boogie Cousins in his game. and really is, which could be a really smart decision because Boogie can step out and hit the three, and it's taking Rudy Gobert out of the paint. And it could be you didn't see him utilize Boogie almost the entire Dallas series. And now game one, he's bringing him in. You know, it could be a really smart decision where you can pull Gobert out of that paint there.
Mm. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, you were just mentioning about how Utah is out with their best player and that could be suffering. Well, the same can't be said about the Nets because they went out without Harden, you know, with his injury. It happened in the first quarter, the first game on Saturday, and they're doing fine with that, man. Last night, well, they might be just doing fine because last night was a disaster for the Yucks. I mean, the Bucks. You know, they're doing fine without him. So that's my little joke, guys. That's my little joke. So, you know, it's not always with your best player. Sometimes you can do, you know, the best without him, but, you know, it does help to have that extra, you know, offense when you need it. But so far it looks like they're doing great. I mean, they're up 2-0 against the Bucks, and I wasn't really expecting I expected a much tougher series, you know. I mean, you know, because the Bucks have you-know-who, the Greek Freak. You know, he hasn't been, you know, this hasn't been one of his best seasons. Though he said in the interview, oh, don't count us out yet. Sure, we're down 0-2. Big deal. Remember, I'm the Greek Freak. Yeah, you are, but let's see what you do when you put your money in your mouth is. Let's see what happens, though, when they go home to play the series and see what kind of results we get from that. Because playing out there, that does worry me a bit.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I'm always worried when we go down enemy territory.
I tell you what, Kevin Durant is obviously motivated in this series going up against the Greek Freak.
Yeah.
You know, is Greek Freak the next guy to take over the torch after LeBron? And Kevin Durant said, hey, not so fast, my friend. And he is really, really destroying the Greek Freak in these first two games here in this series and really sending a message.
Curtis, yeah. What you got for that?
Okay, I'll go to the East. Kevin Durant. Yeah, Kevin Durant. He wants to prove that he's the best man in the NBA. He wants to prove he made a good decision to stay away from Golden State. He wants to prove that he's the man on his terms. But they formed a super team there. And everybody's looking at that. And there's no denying. But they may have put people like Damian and the boy in Dallas and those boys thinking, and even Tupo, the guy they're going to eliminate, that, you know, no matter, it's not about team, it's about talent around you. And if you got a bunch of people that got a high percentage on their three-point and two-point shot, you can win these championships. And they're putting the league on notice on that. The good series may be that Atlanta-Philly series and how healthy Embiid can be. If Embiid goes down, they're going to lose that series. Embiid's got to be the monster. He's got to play all seven games, and I think it might go to seven. And if he can't, they're in a lot of trouble. And I'm scared of the Clippers. But what I'm scared of with the Clippers is that if they don't get to the finals, what's that billionaire going to do? Is he going to blow up all the South L.A.? And I think he will, and it's going to be ugly.
He might.
It's going to be like a massacre. And he's going to be yelling and screaming, and he's going to be losing his mind down there in L.A. And somebody might put a bag over George's face and tell him, man, you stink. And it might be Jerry. Jerry might go down there and put a bag on his face and doodle on him. And it's our boot camp.
Yeah.
I was trying to, no, you're good. You're good. Curtis, I was trying to let you and Gary recover from the Blazers because it seems like, you know, the Hawks made a good decision in changing coaching, and then obviously what happened with Terry Stotts, because you're kind of looking at the Blazers like, what's going on? I mean, are they missing a piece? You kind of felt like they had a couple of pieces. You know, Norman Powell played well. Then you had, you know, a rejuvenated Carmelo Anthony. You know, you had a lot of good pieces, but then it just seems like, again, you know, what's going to happen, you know, because it feels like, you know, you've had, you know, McCollum, you've got that dynamic scoring punch, but what's the problem with this squad? You know, you keep running into, like, you know, certain situations, and, you know, I think they're more talented, but it just feels like, you know, what's the problem? Go ahead, Chris. I'll figure out something.
Well, let me say this. We wanted Nurkic to be as good as the guy in Denver. He came to Denver, but Denver chose the Joker over our center. Now,
smart move.
Gary,
yeah, this is smart move.
Me, and it hasn't worked out like we wanted him to. He's been hurt a bunch of times, but he's still, of all the centers we've had since that DeFalco he had with the boy from Ohio State, and I saw him in a bar, Greg Oden, and I thought I could beat him up. That boy was deep. Oh, my God. It was
beat
amazing. I saw him.
I
saw him at a comedy show, and he looked like a hippie.
The thing I would say about that real quick is I wanted Stotts to be fired because you got to – offensively, the Blazers have been fine. You know, they've been a top five offense, sometimes top two or three offense. In the league for quite a while. But you can't have that kind of a deficiency on defense. You can't be a top five offense and a number 30th in defense and expect to go a long way. And they have tried to make moves, but I really think it's the culture. I think it's, you know, it's coaching. You need to get someone in there that is going to be defensive-minded, that's going to kick those guys in the butt and say, hey, listen, we got to stop. We got to get stopped. They're going to get points. They're going to be a team that's always going to score points. I don't like how Nurk played in the series. I thought he played stupid at times, picking up, you know, three fouls, two games in less than a minute, you know, which with – the games that we won, Nurk was on the court and battled against the Joker and played real well against him, held his own. Yeah. The games that we lost, he played stupid, was out early, sitting on the bench, and then that just gave him the free run of the place. So I'd like to see, not only do I want to see, I'm glad Stotts is gone, want to bring in a defensive-minded coach. I've got several names. We'll go over them another time, I guess. But players I want to see traded are Nurk, and I want CJ see what we can get for CJ. We got to break this up and get somebody else in there.
Yeah. Getting rid of CJ? Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Let me say this. Hey, you guys, let me say this. It was a sad night to waste. And if I was a coach, I would tell my boys, help him out. Damian went for 55 and 15.
Crazy.
He looked like a superstar. And you guys step out of bounds and you guys miss a dunk. Damn it.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It was,
wow.
You know, that was that was the saddest thing that you can see. They had that game. And if they would have won that game, they had been on their way. And they stumbled and fumbled. And Damian had the world on fire that night. He should not have lost that game.
Wow. For some of her critics get really passionate like that, dropping F-bombs. Wow, man. That is a true statement.
Yeah, I heard some rumors about Damian.
What rumors were that, Lou?
That, well, I don't know how true this is, but that maybe the Knicks are looking at him, or is that just a complete lie?
Well, there's a lot of teams that would be looking at Damian Lillard.
Lizard.
You know, so call him what you want, but when he plays your team, the only thing you call him is sir.
I was going to say Lou, what the Knicks realized is that they definitely need a dynamic point guard some way, somehow. They saw a trade, man, we got to have something like that. And they're like, that's
true.
You know, Randall is only going to give them so much, and Derrick Rose is getting older, obviously, but, you know, they are like, man, they messed up with Nikita or whatever, and, you know, they realized that Peyton was not doing his thing. So, yeah, I know I hate bringing it up, but so they're like, man, yeah. So, you know, but Derrick Rose is perfect for that second unit, man. We've got JQ. Did you pop on, sir?
Yes, sir. What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, we jump right in this, man. So, I was going to ask you really quickly. We're going to start with Lou really quickly. Are the Mavs leaning too much on Luka? Is that a problem?
I think the problem is they thought that they were getting that Porzingis that was the unicorn. That Kevin Durant just coined him, and he's not being that number two for them. Luka's a beast now, and he's doing all he can.
Yeah.
I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is the number three, but they needed number two, and they thought they were getting that number two in Porzingis, and that's not happening. As reports, Porzingis and Doncic aren't really friends. Like, they don't hang out. They're not friends, and I think, you know, chemistry is a big part of it. And Porzingis with his injuries, he's not lived up to the billing. And he's getting all that max contract money right now off those years early in New York. So Dallas is in a tough spot because nobody's trading for that Porzingis contract right now. So they got to find a way to make those two coexist. But I like Luka's game. Luka's a beast, but he didn't get what he needed to get from Porzingis as his number two, so we'll see how that works out moving forward.
Boy, New York is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lou. They keep pulling it up for New York, bro. They keep busting you up. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm just saying, though.
Yeah.
Porzingis in New York was a beast. And he got hurt, and you felt and Dallas felt like they were
still
getting
prone,
not a steal, but you know, like okay, you know, they were trying to get that Nash, the Mitch kind of, let's get the Canadian, the European, let's get these all. Kind of guys that are really good, but nobody's really checking for. And they got it with Luka, but they thought, but they missed on Porzingis. So unless Porzingis ups his game, Dallas is in trouble because they got to pay Porzingis a lot of money, and nobody wants that contract.
Harley Jr. was under the bench. He could too. He just couldn't pull it off either, man. So it's been tough. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, now you know. Porzingis was coming out complaining, saying he don't feel like he's being utilized properly in Dallas, and that Luka just kind of, you know, hogs the ball. And I don't necessarily see it that way. I mean, I watched the entire game on Sunday, and I saw Luka get double-teamed quite a bit, and he was passing the ball. He had 14 assists, and if guys were making shots, he would have had over 20-something assists in that game. So I don't necessarily see it that way with Porzingis, and you don't feel like I just think Porzingis just lacks the aggressiveness and the focus and the winning mentality. And you can see in that game, the second half, Luka, and I thought Rick Carlisle did a poor job managing his minutes too. I know you don't keep your best player on the floor, but I think he did a poor job of managing his minutes. You got to get him out of game, get him a breather. He was worn out in that game.
Hell no.
And,
no.
And that,
This is win or go home, man.
Huh?
This is win or go home. You know how tired you've been playing against Drake, playing one-on-one, in your third 5-on-5 at the local park, and you was tired. You was dead dog tired. But you wasn't trying to get off that court, and you kept playing.
I never get tired.
You just said it.
Well,
Porzingis, you got to show up for Porzingis. If you're that guy and Luka's getting double teamed, then you should have easy money if you're Porzingis.
Yeah.
And he didn't
do
that.
I'm not talking about Porzingis.
So,
I'm saying Luka. Luka, they didn't manage his minutes properly. And
well,
part of the problem is Luka looks like he can have some better conditioning, too. And
yeah, he does.
Luka
like, yeah,
looked
he
looked wiped out in the second half of that game on Sunday. And not only in that game, but in quite a few of the games in that series, especially the ones that they lost. He had a great first half, but it just seemed like he was exhausted in the second half. So,
he definitely
number one,
he
needs to get better conditioning. Number two, Rick Carlisle needs to manage his minutes a little bit better, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to take off for Rick Carlisle. Because if you're Rick Carlisle and you're looking at what Luka's doing, if I take Luka off the game, and we're down two, and I take him out for his you know, regular minutes, and then we're down 15 or 10, what am I going to do then? Now we have a much harder role to hold to get back into the game. I'm not necessarily mad at that. I'm more mad at Porzingis. It's like LeBron, if you talk about it, he's out there just floating. You have to have other guys be able to take the pressure off you to where I can be a decoy, but I don't have to exert so much energy on the offense today because I've got this other guy to help me out. And Porzingis was supposed to be that guy. And if we're being honest, Porzingis has not been that guy. We talked about it, you know, a couple years ago. We were like, oh, my goodness. They got Porzingis and Luka. And we were thinking, oh, they're getting that Porzingis from New York to pair with Luka. And if Luka grows to where we think he should be, and he did, it was like Luka went above our expectations, but then Porzingis underwhelmed us, right? So it's like at some point, though, if I don't keep him out of the court, we're going to lose whether he's tired or not. If he's off the court, we lose. If he's on the court, we lose. Where are my second and my third and my fourth tier stars for my team? So, to me, it still falls on Porzingis, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, Porzingis,
I thought they could have did a better job of. They could have called some timeouts to get him to catch a breather. And I thought Carlisle poorly managed that in the second half again. I totally understand what you're saying, but I thought Carlisle, as good a coach as he is, he really managed. I think personally, I thought he mismanaged that.
Trying to keep his job.
But it's not all on Carlisle. You're right. It goes to Porzingis too.
You know, Lucas knows who this guy is. He knows he's not going to be a game changer with him. Where I think Luka went wrong is not taking, you know, instead of passing that ball as much as he did, you know, start taking the game over. I think that's personally where I think he went wrong. And maybe you're partly right, Rob, with managing his minutes. Maybe he was just too tired at that point to do something like that. But also, JQ
was
right
in the second half.
When you're in a winner-go-home situation, you can't take your best player off the court. You got to keep him on
you.
So it's maybe some timeouts would have helped without having to actually take him away
from
some of the minutes, things like that. But he's got to stay on the court. And instead of pass, there's a while I was watching the game, and I'm like, dude, take this guy to the rack. You're at the top of the key. Shoot it. And even hesitated on some of those shots that he would normally take. And I was wondering what the hell was going on. So he's also got to take part of the responsibility for that loss himself.
He's also young, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, we forget that. Like, we see him with all those years against all those grown dudes in that EuroLeague, and you expect so much out of him. But I think a part of it is just that I'm with you. I think Carlisle said, if I put him on the bench, I lose. So if I leave him on the court and I lose, at least I lose with all my guns blazing. But I understand what you're saying, Rob. I truly do. But to me, it just feels like it falls more on Porzingis in terms of Porzingis has a max contract. I don't know if everybody else knows that. He has a max contract. So when you're out there and you're supposed to be that number two guy, be that number two guy and take that pressure off of him. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a three to me. And he played, to me, admirably in that series. Put in a three, but you don't have a two against the Clippers with a one and a two with Kawhi and Paul George. Unless we knock them around and they are really a deep team, that it starts to bear you know, fruit in that in those first parts of the series. So, to me, I put more of it on Porzingis. We were all so, oh, my goodness, Porzingis is going to be ridiculous. And he goes with Luke, and we're like, oh, has Dallas done it again? Have they done Nash and Nowitzki again? And we're like, now you're like, nope, because somebody's living up to it, and Luka, the other one's not living up to it, and we're thinking. So I get what you're saying, Rob, but I just like, you know, if I'm going to go home, and I got Mark Cuban as my owner, and he's got like, what, five first-round
I don't mess with Cuban.
First-round exits now,
yeah.
I think, since he's won the championship. He's like, bro, I'm trying to keep my job, so what good does it do me to keep Luke on the bench if next year I ain't here and he's still playing? Like, I'm just trying to keep my job, and I want to win the series. So it's tough, but I still put on Porzingis. He's got to play better. He has the talent to play better, but he hasn't lived up to it. Not when you're making that kind of money.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason why he was wiped out, because he was carrying the load for the whole team. And as you mentioned, Porzingis was not available to give him assistance. I mean, they were missing. They had, like I said, he had an opportunity to have over 20-something assists in that game. Guys were missing shots. Guys were missing wide-open shots on that team. You got to give the Clippers a lot of credit, too. In the second half, their defense was outstanding. They were stifling on the defensive end in the second half of that game. So you got to give them a lot of credit as well. But I just thought he – number one, Luka's got also, if he's going to be carrying a load like that, he's got to have better conditioning. And I don't know if you guys realize, he was at the foul line, missed two foul shots back-to-back. You can just see it. Even while he's at the foul line, he had no juice, zero.
He's LeBron. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're being honest, I love LeBron, but he's LeBron at the foul line. Like,
mm-hmm.
We can call it spade a spade. Neither one of those shoot free throws.
Luka needs to be like Chris Paul and just kind of get that, you know, he's grown fast. Like you said, he was kind of young, like you said, JQ, but, you know, man, he's lighting his teammates. Yo, I'm going to care. Chris Paul be barking at everybody. Y'all better get, you know, but he has to get in shape, like you said, too, Rob, because I do think, you know, he's been really talented, but he needs to take his game to an even another level. Like I said, he's more conditioned, too. But, you know, add the more communication. You don't know if he's getting into Porzingis and little things like that. So, yo, let's go, guys. Because that's the next missing piece of that leadership situation for sure, too. So, you know, it's all good.
Yep.
I think we got
Curtis
back. We got Lou back. And good news is that I do want to talk a little bit about, obviously, congrats to Jokic for getting the NBA Most Valuable Player. That's pretty dope. But I just want to literally, before I do want to talk, I know we're going to skip about, we're going to talk about Rob and the mock draft, but I do want to just give a shout-out. I know this is for Lou mainly. Jim Fossil passed, and that's kind of a sad situation, man. Definitely legend in New York, man. So that was just like, man, you kind of, just kind of shows you, man, this year, man. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, Lou, because it's crazy, because obviously, you know, he's made a huge impact in the league, if you will, in New York and a lot of places, too, being
yes,
a brilliant offensive mind as well. So I'm
Giants,
just going to talk about that real quick.
He did get the Giants to the Super Bowl in 2001, although it was a night, it was a day to forget from that performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But he was a decent coach for the Giants, and, you know, it's just a shame, you know, how it just happened so sudden.
Right.
Like that. From what I heard, it was, you know, he was having some kind of pain that was taken to the hospital, and then he just passed in there several minutes later. So it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a sad day for not just, I think, Giants fans, but I think football fans all around who, you know, grew up in that era. Yeah, for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about. He made an impact in the game offensively. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, just so sudden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
71 years old.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Gary, Curtis, you know, Rob.
Rob, you have anything?
Well, you know, obviously, first and foremost, you know, our prayers, you know, go out to his family. He definitely was a, you know, a really good coach in the NFL for quite some time. But, as Lou just mentioned, he lost in the Super Bowl, but he did take the Giants to the Super Bowl and lost to the Ravens to that Ray Lewis team, 34-7. But was a really good offensive coordinator for quite some time in the NFL too, even prior to being the head coach. So. Definitely was a guy that has an impact on the game, and really hate to see him go at such a young age at 71.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Absolutely. Rest in peace. Curtis, you have anything?
I mean, where I'm at now and to see people that have these kind of things happen, and I'm facing that kind of stuff, and I face that every day. And,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, religious people tell me that you're only called. And so when it's your time, you're going to be called.
Yeah.
And that gives me some solace. When it's my time, I'm going to be called. And with this coach, it was his time. He got called.
There it is. There it is. That's on. Rob, you want to talk really briefly about your squad, or excuse me, talk about the NBA mock draft real quick?
Yeah, we'll go over really quick. Obviously, the top two picks, Cade Cunningham to Houston, Evan Mobley to Detroit. No changes there. Slight change between 3 and 4. I moved Jalen Green up to 3 and moved Jalen Suggs down to 4. Jalen Green, tremendous athlete, 6'5", 6'6", was in the G League, you know, went from high school to the G League, tremendous scorer in the G League, and like I said, tremendous athlete. So got him going number 3 to Orlando, and I dropped Jalen Suggs down to number 4 to Oklahoma City. And Jonathan Kuminga going to Cleveland at 5. So still the top 5 players are the same, but it just flip-flopped Jalen Green and Jalen Suggs 3 to 4. And Andre, one of his million NBA teams, Golden State, they're getting Klay Thompson back, and they got a number 6 pick, possibly number 6 pick in the draft. They're going to be in a lot of it, so they can possibly win it.
Right, right.
But I got him picking Scotty Barnes here, which is a tremendous long-arm defender out of Florida State here at the number 6 spot. Will be a tremendous fit to that team if that's how it plays out here. Got James Bouknight going to Toronto, number 7. Davion Mitchell, you all saw him in the NCAA tournament, lockdown defender from the point guard spot. Can shoot the 3-pointer. Have him going number 8. Moses Moody from Arkansas, number to Sacramento. Got my Pelicans taking Keon Johnson from Tennessee. I'll skip around a little bit. Corey Kispert from Gonzaga, having gone number 13 to Indiana.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter. Franz Wagner from Michigan, having gone 15. Josh Giddey is a guy that's got a lot of publicity right now. 6'8 point guard from Australia. I have gone 16 to Boston right now, but he could possibly be moving up in that top 12 kind of ballpark. IU Dasumi from Illinois, him going number 17 right now. Another guy is kind of climbing, Isaiah Jackson, power forward from Kentucky. Only played 1 year at Kentucky. Looked to be a late first rounder, maybe second rounder, but got him going 19. He could possibly even go higher than this as well. And Andre, got your Hawks taking Nashawn Highland, point guard from Virginia Commonwealth. And I got the Lakers taking LSU Cam Thomas at number 22 to stay in the purple and gold. And Jared Butler, the other starting guard from Baylor, I got him going number 25 to the Clippers. Another star of the NCAA tournament, Johnny Zujane from UCLA. I have him going number 27 to the Nets.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Appreciate that, Rob. You're trying to like talk about my million teams yet, so you got like, you know, 5 or 6 jerseys over there, so we'll keep that going a little later too. I really want to show some love to JQ. I know we didn't get to talk about this, but just a quick shout out to Jesse Winkler, man, getting the first player in Reds history to have 3 like multi runs or 3 home runs in a season. That's pretty crazy.
Yes, sir.
The first to do that. Whenever you think about how great the Reds are, that's just, I was like, wow. So just wanted to make sure that, you know, Jake, you got his little shout-out for that too, man. That's crazy that he's first in franchise history.
When I saw that, I was definitely shocked at it. But I give you a little nugget. You know, I got one of the guys I work with is from St. Louis. He jumped on a Zoom call with his Cardinals T-shirt on before the series started. I said, okay. And one of my other good friends that I hang out with is also a Cardinals fan that I see, and he's also a Michigan fan. So, you know, we go at it a whole lot with the Reds and the Cardinals and Ohio State and Michigan. And whenever the Cardinals win, you know, I got another buddy who's from Pittsburgh who's a Pirates fan, so we have our own little separate, you know, NL Central chat. And he didn't say nothing for the first couple of days. And we were like, hey, buddy, what's going on? So, you know, it was fantastic to see that. We lost the day, though, but they had been so red hot. But I'm with you, though. I was shocked. I said, he's the first one to have two, mostly three home run games in the season. He's done it before mid-June. Gotta love it. But, you know, they failed today, so we'll see what happens. But shout out to Jesse Winker, though, for sure.
Nice, nice. All right, gentlemen. Fun stuff, man. You know, I know we could talk about a couple things. We did want to do – I want to talk to Curtis really quickly, too, to kind of get a quick shout-out because we had a note about Kevin Durant. I kind of flipping back and forth, being kind of the best player back because he's kind of taking that mantle. Rob mentioned earlier how he just took it to the Greek Freak. It's like, you know, you thought you were getting the mantle, but he's definitely taking his claim, too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, Curtis, and then we'll let Jake get it. That's the last thing we'll talk about that we can talk about definitely some situations with Jalen Hurts and, you know, Julio, if you will, too. So go ahead, Curtis.
Okay, and what's the question?
Oh, just about Kevin Durant. How is he back to being the best player in the game right now?
Well, Kevin Durant, very confusing, along with the other guy they got. And, you know, their big boy from Houston. What is his way on that team? A good choice. Kevin Durant is unstoppable. He always has been unstoppable. Now, the NBA did do something to him, though. He got drafted to Seattle and never played in Seattle. Never saw Seattle. So Kevin Durant's unstoppable.
Oh,
right.
He played 1 year in Seattle, I think.
Yeah, and he's up in Oklahoma City. You couldn't go.
He played at least 1 or 2 years with Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play 1 or 2 years.
PJ Carlissimo was the coach.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got a Seattle Supersonics jersey.
Yep.
Yep, and Kevin, he's got to prove it. He does. He's got to prove it. Don't get hurt. Prove it. And when you can prove it, nobody can get in your way.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I think they can prove it.
Listen, I don't think anybody beats those Nets teams. That game they put on in Game 2, and I know it's just the Eastern Conference semifinals game. That Game 2 they put on against Milwaukee, where they was just crossing the Greek Freak up and just raining threes and going to the hole, and Blake Griffin absolutely stole money from Detroit because he's got more dunks, I think, in his half a year with the Nets than he had in those 2 years with Detroit. They're a whole problem. I don't know if they can retire everybody after this year, but I can't see them losing this championship this year. And that's with Harden having a hamstring injury and not even playing. Can you imagine if they had James Harden full strength? Like, that Nets team is a full problem. I don't – and I'm a Lakers fan, and I told y'all, even if the Lakers were fully healthy, I don't know if I will say that. I don't think they would beat – if they made it to the finals and played the Nets, I don't think they would beat them. That Nets team is a problem. You can't double-team Joe Harris and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Like, you can't do it. That Nets team is silly good. They're silly good.
Yes, it's really scary when you really look at it. They're the clear-cut favorites to win it all. And as you all mentioned, they got one of the star players healthy. And the sad thing is Milwaukee's got two elite defenders on their team, and they're getting abused. You would have thought Holiday would be able to slow Kyrie Irving down. You would have thought the Greek Freak would be able to slow Kevin Durant down, but they're not at all. I mean, Kevin Durant is so motivated going up against the Greek Freak in this series. You know, was the Greek Freak taking over the torch from LeBron? As I said earlier in the show, not so fast. Kevin Durant seems motivated. He looks quick. He's getting to the basket. He's shooting the basketball. He's looking flat out outstanding, and he looks flat out motivated going against the Greek Freak. and he's sending a message not only to the Greek Freak but the rest of the league that he's back.
Yeah, and you, I don't know if you saw a story about him and his side chick and the chick he was dating. Kevin Durant is just living life. He is just murdering people.
Got options.
And he's fully healthy. Yeah, did you see that story about him? With the YouTube influencer, he took her on a date, but he brought his side chick just in case the YouTube influencer wasn't talking about that life. Like, Kevin Durant is just in an unbelievable zone right now. And, that Nets team is if they can find a way, then, you know, because Blake got brought out, so they got to resign him if they can. And but if Harden, even if they don't resign him, if Harden gets healthy, like, you talking about them, what they did to Milwaukee without James Harden, and they made them look silly. Can you imagine James Harden being on the floor with them while that was happening? Oh, goodness. The Nets are a full problem in the NBA right now. A full problem.
Well, and with Milwaukee, I don't think he's actually all that. Kevin Durant is motivated because when he was with the Warriors, he was the best player on that team, and it was still someone else's team. Now he goes to the Nets. And he was injured, that's all he heard about, and the Greek Freak this, and he's the MVP, and all this stuff. Well, guess what? He put the NBA on notice, saying, I'm the best player right now in the league, and I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to prove that I was the best player on the Warriors team, and I'm the best player on this team, and I'm the best player in the NBA. And that's what his goal is this year. And he's got a really good shot at doing that.
Good call. Good call.
Well, another thing.
All right,
thing,
gentlemen. Go ahead, Chris.
Another thing. Look what he's been around. He's been around. He's been around the guy. And excuse me, you guys. You know, my brain is jumbled. But when he was playing down in Oklahoma with
Westbrook,
the boy Westbrook, and he wasn't talked about around Westbrook. And then he gets to Golden State, and they wanted not to talk about him. And like Gary said, now you got to talk about him.
Oh, yeah.
He was talked about at Golden State. I know there was a great – I talk about a pretty great podcast, which is Knuckleheads, and they actually had some pretty good interviews with him, and he said playing at Golden State made him a lot better because he realized that he only has a limited amount of shots. If you realize you only have 15 shots a game, that you're extremely focused on hitting what you have to hit, and then that fourth quarter becomes open seat. Like whoever's open, hot during that period, he's like Golden State actually helped him become a better player because he was so focused on hitting shots and getting things within the offense, and it's kind of a unique perspective, if you will, too. So, you know, obviously everyone wants to, shit on him for going to Golden State, but again, that was another situation for him to get to that next phase as well. And, you know, well, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but I'm just saying, you know, if you get him on your squad, you know, it doesn't matter. No one's talking shit. I'm just saying, if you get him on the Hawks, if you get him on the Lakers, no one's talking. Everyone wanted it. You know, everybody wanted it. And the year Russell Westbrook, when we talk about it all the time, I would have had 20 assists, but Russell had to be the dude. He could compete with him.
No,
so, yeah.
No. Stop it, Dre. He went to the team he had down 3-1. He went to the team he down 3-1. If he went anywhere else, he would have not gotten the same level of vitriol because he went to the team that they should have put their foot on their neck and closed out their series, and they didn't.
They
should have, could have, would
have, and they didn't.
No, you can't. But you can't treat the Hunts to Brooke. He went to a team that he had down 3-1.
Face. I wish he was on a Zoom call right now, JQ.
I'm just saying, but everyone.
I'm just
saying. Of course, everyone's gonna be.
I'm just saying.
I get that.
Yeah, I totally agree with JQ on this.
Well, that's fine. Not everyone can agree. If he goes to the Blazers and it was six, it doesn't. If you switch any team on that, you're up 3-1. And he goes, you're going to be pissed off no matter what happens.
Yeah, but that was that team. No. That was that team. No. That was that team. That was starting to take the
lead
by storm.
It was a different roster after he went, too.
Dre, I know that you're a Golden State fan. But that team, with what they were building and the way they had them down 3-1, going to that team is why he got that. If he goes anywhere else, any of the other 30 teams, nobody says anything. When you go to the team that you have down 3-1, and you go join that team that was already a superstar team, you're going to hear that.
Move.
That's just something he's going to have to live
you
with. At some point, he just has to.
That was a punk move. You're missing the point. I agree with you in that statement, JQ, but what I'm saying is that, again, it was a situation where they pitched him and he went there. So, again, any team would have loved – he goes to Golden State, the team that he's done. Yeah, but any team would love to have that guy. That's all I'm saying. That's what I was saying.
Agreed.
If you're making
any of the other 29 teams would love to have him. Once you go to that team after that series, you're going to hear that. So at some point, he has to make peace with that,
like you said,
with himself, and just be cool with it.
Absolutely. But like I said, at the end
of the day. That's all I'm saying.
I see Dre's face on his Zoom call. All I'm saying is that Kevin Durant, you know, he's living his life. You know, he can give a shit about what we think about it this time because he's, you know.
At all.
He suck it, you know what I'm saying?
At all.
At the end of the day.
He don't care at all. But you know what? He cares, though. The thing about it, though, is that he cares, though. He tries to pretend like he doesn't care. And that's where he kind of falls short.
He's very sensitive.
He's probably listening on us.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Every team with cap room in that year wants Kevin Durant, and I would never ever take that away from you. You're 100% correct. But that situation, given what happened, given the team that he went to, what they had already started to build, he's always going to hear that, and he's going to have to just address it and be okay with it at some point and let it be water under the bridge and be okay with it. But he's still not to that point yet, and I don't know when he will, if he ever will be okay with that. But that is just something that's going to always have to be addressed for him. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But Kevin Durant, the basketball player, Kevin Durant is ridiculous. And he's showing you how ridiculous he is. And, of course, everybody else wants Kevin Durant, for sure. As a Laker fan, hell yeah. But I want Kevin Durant, for sure. Because of 50 money to cap, hell yeah. It's just that situation, that circumstance is always going to be there. He's going to have to live with it and find a way to address it and be okay with it.
And the problem that he had there with that was being down like that. You have your hands around their neck ready to choke the champs out.
Yes.
And you let it slip away from you, and then you immediately go to the team that came back on you like
right.
that. That was the issue. That was the issue.
It always will be. Agreed.
That series had not happened like that.
None of you guys.
We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, Don't none of you guys forget what Draymond Green said to him. And when he told him, we didn't need your ass.
Mm-hmm. Can't
call
him the B-word.
Yep.
And that's what led Kevin Durant to be out the door wanting to leave after that, if you recall.
Yep.
That was icing on the cake for him wanting to be out of Golden State. That interaction with Draymond Green, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail it. My bad. That's what happens when you let me walk in.
I say, not to change the subject, but it's so weird looking at Dwayne Wade courtside at a Utah Jazz game as a part owner.
That's crazy weird. But you know what? Donovan Mitchell, if you look at him, he reminds you a lot of Dwayne Wade. And it's a little eerie.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? The way he plays, it's really eerie.
Yep.
But I tell you what, Utah's in trouble. And that's the problem that everybody's had with Utah the whole year. It was like they're going to face one of those, the Clippers or the Lakers, and everybody's mind was like, okay, let's see what they're made of. And you see what the Clippers are doing, and it's like, eh. One time for the Hawks,
Utah's
though.
Making
I'm taking the Hawks in seven.
But
taking the Hawks in seven. Why? Why? What was going on?
Now you got
on
big smiling, man. You didn't change the whole mood.
Hey, I'm trying to get Dre back on board with me. Taking the Hawks in seven.
Oh, man. I tell you what, that should be a really interesting series. And the Hawks got a lot more depth on their team than probably the Sixers do. I mean, the Sixers got a big push from Shake Milton tonight. Shake Milton came through big for them, and they got some good minutes from Matisse. And, you know, so they were able to get some minutes. But can the Sixers continue to get that kind of production from their bench like they did tonight? And, of course, Joel Embiid was just a beast, as usual, 40 points.
Hopefully we
won
him
outside,
out.
Inside.
But he had 39 in the first game, and they lost. That's my point. If you didn't see anything happen with him being hurt and Embiid being hurt, and you said, okay, Atlanta, you go into Philadelphia and you get a split, you would say, hell yeah. That's all we need. Because if we hold on to home court advantage for the Hawks, you win this series. Uh-huh. There's no way to me I thought Atlanta was going to go into Philadelphia and sweep both those games. So, to me, tonight, it was a closer game. You know, the Hawks were up by one at one point late in the third quarter, and then Philadelphia went on a run. But if you're Atlanta, you say, you know, we went into Philadelphia and took the first game. The same thing they did against the Knicks. You go in there and get the first game, and they win the second game, and you're like, okay, well, we come back home with a chance that if we defend home court, we're up 3-1 in this series. So if you're the Hawks, you did exactly what you were supposed to do on the road against Philadelphia in the first two games.
Yep. And I think we shocked them, hit in the mouth.
And they did the same thing in the first game against the Knicks. I mean.
Yep, that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They won game one in New York.
DeAndre Hunter. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. They did what they were supposed to do.
So we get DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish back too, which is a surprise. He's going to help out defensively. So we still need another backup point guard at some point. Hopefully that'll be something next year. But like I said, you missed it earlier. We were talking about JQ just kind of like, you know, again, Robert putting Hawks up in the topics. So I knew they were going to, you know, have a tough game. But just, again, just to see us, I'm just happy that we're actually playing well, you know, so, you know, getting some love here and stuff like that. So, you know, that's what's all
playing
about.
Well is an understatement.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
sorry, great.
We can't talk too much. We're kind of keeping everything like, you know, because you never know. You know, even that first game.
That's
you
tried to keep it under the radar. They did everything they were supposed to do in Philadelphia. They got one of them. That's all they needed.
Yep. All right. Well, we got a minute, and we'll wrap this up, too. So I guess we'll go around the horn and tell you, like, any last stuff, and then we'll get ready to wrap it up, too. So we'll start with Curtis. You have anything to say real quickly, and we'll get ready because we're getting near the end of the show.
Okay. What I want to say is, I think this series that we're watching right now, I'm looking right now, this is going to be a hell of a series.
Absolutely.
This Utah Clippers. But I also want to say, when it comes to Kevin Durant's team, the team that needs to come out of the West will be the Clippers. The Clippers might have the best chance of beating them.
Yep.
Yeah. When you talk about star power, if you want the most star power in the NBA Finals, the Nets and the Clippers will be that series. There's no doubt about it. You can see Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant. And I said earlier in the show, I think whoever wins the Clippers-Jazz series is going to the Finals. And I think it's pretty inevitable that the Nets are going out of East. As much as I want to see Monty Williams go, he's a really good man. But the winner of this Clippers-Jazz series is going to the finals. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We're going to be back on the air next Tuesday night, people. Next Tuesday night is going to be June 15th. We're going to be midway through the month already. So next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time for our friends in New York. It's going to be 10 p.m. for our friends in Chicago. I could use some deep dish pizza. Send me some, please. I know it's nice. The frozen kind is good enough for me. It'll ship well. And that'll be 8 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast next Tuesday night, people. We're going to have a small OT portion. You can get the rest of the show. Click on this same link for the rest of this week. Good night, people.
Yeah, y'all listen to him talking that stuff. We all know it's going to be the Clippers and the Nets. We can watch all the games play out, but you know what it's going to be. Well, I appreciate y'all. I know we know it's your portion now, but yeah, it's definitely going to be the Clippers and the Nets. Let's just stop fooling ourselves. It's going to be the Clippers and the Nets. The Clippers are finally playing how we thought the Clippers should play with everybody they have on their team. And the Nets, just that was a tour de force in that game, too, against Milwaukee. Okay? Unless something crazy happens with the Nets, I just don't see anything preventing that being the Nets in the Clippers in the finals. And I agree with you. The NBA is somewhere like, yes, JQ, you're right. Please let that be the case so we see all the maximum eyeballs to the viewership. That's exactly what they want. So we'll see. But I'm like 99.8% sure that we're going to get the Nets finals.
99.8. I think the Nets and the Jazz
10%.
Will be a good series in the finals.
The who?
Look at Gary. The Nets and the Jazz. He's not going to go for the Clippers.
The Nets and the Jazz.
They're
going to
win, bro.
Finals.
I know how you feel about Paul George. But if that Kawhi Leonard that showed up against in those elimination games against the Mavericks.
Kawhi Leonard is going to be down 0-1 tonight.
Lies. If that same Kawhi Leonard that showed up against the Mavericks in that first round in those elimination games where he just went bonkers, oh my God! I'm not rooting for any one of those teams, but I would love to see the Clippers in the Nets play with that. Like I just talked about it, Rob, with that star power, then the NBA cannot ask for anything more.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, even though it's not the Lakers and the Knicks, it's still New York and L.A. too.
Right.
And
two,
you know,
top
media
markets.
From a viewers, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from a media standpoint, that would be huge. Definitely would be huge.
Frozen envelope is back. Frozen envelope is back.
We can talk about it for the next couple of weeks, but that's happening. That person in the Nets is happening, and oh boy.
Wow. All right, gentlemen.
The Jazz on quite a run right now, though, in this game. But I know you ain't far from over, though.
The Mavericks was up 0-2 on the Clippers, and we saw what happened. Listen, this is
the reason
why everybody was looking at, you know, Charles Barkley and them talking all that stuff and whatever on Inside the NBA. Nobody is sold on Phoenix and Utah being the representative out of the West. Now, when you have, before the Lakers got knocked out, and I got to live with that because that sucks, and of course I was pissed. But when you have that star power in L.A. and you have what's happening in Brooklyn, I would be surprised, and I would come on here to the show and say I'm wrong if the Jazz or Phoenix makes it to the NBA Finals. I just can't see that.
There you go, Gary. Keep hope alive, man. Gary is steadfast.
JQ, you missed it early in the show.
Clippers.
You missed it early in the show. Gary said the missing piece for the Blazers is acquiring Paul George. Keep Dame Lillard happy.
Yeah, I know he didn't say no shit like that.
Rob is throwing it.
Woo! Oh, man.
Listen,
we're trying to break up the Blazers.
If Kawhi's going to go for 40 in big games, yeah, they're coming out the West. That's just what it is. I'm sorry.
The thing about Kawhi is he's doing it on both ends of the floor. He's been impressive. I mean, he's been a serious two-way player, especially in that first series against Dallas. I mean, he was getting it done on both ends of the floor. And the defensive effort he had against Luka, even though Luka got his points in the second half, but there were some tough points, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi's getting it done on both ends of the floor right now.
And that's what I can see what Gary's talking about, because Paul he kind of disappears at times. Man, you're like, dude, where's this dude at? That's what, you know, a true superstar does. You know, you play, you lift your team. And Paul George has never been that. It's too inconsistent. So I agree with you, Gary. It's hilarious, man, how he's never stepped up at the right time. It seems like that. It's like,
thank you for agreeing. And
listen,
out of Atlanta, out of the.
What'd you say?
I tell you like this.
Atlanta.
You said he's picking Atlanta out of.
No, that's crazy talk. Listen, as much as we had the Bradley Beal forcing his way out of Washington talk, the clock is now on Dame Lillard forcing his way out of Portland. I'm sorry to hear you. I don't want to hear that. But when they lose like that again, he advocates for a coach, and the coach comes out the next day and says, "Nah, I ain't coming to there to coach that team." That's not a good look for Portland. Not a good look.
Yeah. We talked about that too a little bit, JQ, because we were talking about how New York may be, you know, because after they saw a trade, like, man, we need a dynamic point guard. That's how they're looking at it too. They're trying to figure out what the next step is for them too. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you can see something like that. Yeah, go ahead.
I agree. And it just depends on what they are willing to give up to Portland. But if you give New York – even if you give them R.J. Barrett and Obi Toppin and a couple picks and some filler for Dame Lillard, and I know that sucks in terms of equal value, and I agree, that sucks. But if they find a way to make that happen and you give Dame and Julius Randle and, you know, a couple of pieces around it, New York is dangerous in that East. I love Dame Lillard. Don't get me wrong. The Dame time is for real, and Dame is a clutch player. But I think Dame has got to the point where he's like, I can't win here in Portland. I think he might be there in his mindset in terms of I can't win it here in Portland unless they do something, which is like includes like trading McCollum or somebody else
talked about
to bring in a star.
Yeah,
but I don't know how many people are trying to get to Portland. So,
yeah.
I hate it for you guys in the Pacific Northwest, but I think it might have run its course. It might have.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What do? You blow it up, you keep it is. That's where we're at. That's what we're talking about. Because we talked about they had a pretty, you know, Paldo was doing this thing. You know, you got a, you know, even the older Carmelo you had, you know, you got Nurkic, you had some pieces. And it just feels like, man, what else we got to do? You know? So.
What else can we do?
And they're still better than the
you're
Pelicans,
right.
Obviously, from Gary's point. But still, that may not be
Uh-oh.
Enough. So,
well, I mean, that's
they
yeah.
got rid
that,
of the
I'm not,
that
I'm,
was
yeah.
my first. That was my first on my wish list.
Yeah,
we need
him.
A defensive-minded
mm-hmm.
coach. Nurk, I want him gone. And CJ,
wow.
See what we can get.
You want CJ gone? Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, if you package Nurk with CJ. You can go get you a superstar. The question is, can you get you a superstar with multi-years left on his contract where he can't force a trade out of Portland after being traded? That's the issue, right? Because it's a superstar-driven league. So if you go get you a superstar that only has 2 years left on his contract, he's like, fuck that. I don't want to play in Portland. Then you're in the same problem. but if you can get you those two guys and get you a superstar that has just signed a contract extension, And you got him for three or four years on that contract, and you pair him with Dame?
Once they get here, they love it here.
I'm not – I agree. And that's fine.
Get here, you know, so it's getting the guy here, and at some point you got to do something. Dame's off the table. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until the end of his contract. He's got 3 years left on his contract.
He may just be sick of. Well, I see what Jake's saying. Like he's like, I've done. What else can I do? What else can I do? He had 50
and
points,
he,
man.
And that's true. But he's,
I mean,
you know, but he's also, you know, he
50 points.
They're also trying to make the moves around him.
Yeah,
and that's what
I
you
mean,
need to do to keep your superstar.
Yeah.
We'll keep ours. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's about the deal you can make. Is what it comes down to.
Right.
Can I make that deal with CJ and Nurk to get somebody that's got 3 years left on his contract that can't force a trade? Or do I say, okay, CJ and Nurk like being here, Dame feel like he's run his course. Can I get a godfather offer from somebody else put around CJ and Nurk now? And now I roll with that in Portland. So it's a chicken and the egg kind of situation for Portland right now. And I don't envy you. Like, you're in a tough spot right now, and it sucks. And I'm not saying this to be funny at all. But given what's happened in the past couple of years where Dame is, it's like, do I give up these second and third pieces that I have in McCollum and Nurkic to go get a second superstar that wants to be here and is cool with being in Portland? Or do I say, do I sell super hot on Dame and get a three-way offer that includes, like, Oklahoma City with all their first-round draft picks and this other team, and I pull this superstar, this crazy, you know, draft haul and a star in here, and then we draft well with guys that we target that says, that guy might not play in Portland. That guy might not play in Portland. And we've got the pieces, and we kind of build kind of through that piece. It's a tough spot, and I don't envy you, but that's where you are. To me, honestly, if I'm – and again, it's not a Portland hate by any stretch of the imagination, but given what just happened with Portland, what does Portland do right now with CJ, Nurk, and Dame?
Well, I tell you what, the more realistic option is not them trading CJ McCullough and Nurk for another star. That's going to be really hard for them to pull off in Portland. The more realistic option out of both of those scenarios you presented there is trading Dame for a boatload of first-round draft picks and maybe a player or two. That's going to be the more realistic option because it's going to be hard-pressed for them to trade McCullough and Nurk to get another star in there.
I agree. It's going to be fascinating theater in this NBA offseason. I think Washington has the same problem. So I think Bradley Beal's going to look around and say, well, you know, Westbrook has been great with me, but I signed this contract and I'm wasting away my prime years. What do I do? You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of – it's not exactly similar because I would put Dame above Bradley Beal right now, and I know that might be, you know, might cause kind of strife and people might argue with me on that because Bradley Beal's a beast too. But I feel like I'm got a more proven commodity in Dame. And I think he would command a higher haul in terms of a trade.
Higher
but,
price,
but, you know, yeah. But these, I mean, Washington's not a small market team, but, like, not these destination franchises that compared to some of the other ones where I feel like Washington and Portland might be in a tougher spot.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Dame is here. And I'm going to tell you what Dame did this year. Dame bought a Toyota dealership in a little small town outside of Portland. And he made it such that you can play basketball with him and you can run around cones and you can have a lot of fun just messing around this little Toyota dealership. Dame took a thousand of people on a Black Lives Matter this summer into Portland across the bridge. He led it. And there was, you know, maybe 70,000 people behind him in the one of the marches and one of the protests we had here in Portland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dame took his body and his Blazers shirt downtown Portland with all those crazy people ready to fight the police. Dame did that here.
Well, I kind of agree with both Rob and – go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead. Go ahead, Curse.
No.
I was just going to say I agree because – yeah, finish
he's
up.
He's not going anywhere.
It's the last thing I was going to say. There's an interesting little tidbit here, and we'll let you go because we're wrapping this up. A nugget about, I hate to bring up, you know, Clyde Drexler for you guys, but they were just kind of talking about how, you know, ironically, you know, Lillard still has 4 years on his contract, whatever, but they're talking about, you know, Drexler was kind of at the same place in his career, and he couldn't get that title in Portland. He kind of got his ring when he went to Houston. And that's whenever the Blazers began that rebuild. So he was 32 years old at the same exact time. So it's interesting that they're like, you know, we're kind of looking at kind of a situation. And you got Bill, like you said, JQ. You got Lillard. And then you kind of see what's happening with Curry. There's some little scuttlebutt as far as what's going to happen with this too. So, you know, it's a very interesting time right about now in the NBA too. So, you know, there's a lot of monitoring things that are happening right now too. So as much as we hate to put that dagger in you guys, just there was a little tidbit about Drexler was kind of here as well. same age, same point, and like you said, if you get that haul, you may start that rebuild like you talk about, and you may be like, yeah, it's been fun, Dame, but Dame may be like, yo, I've tried everything. I've tried. I scored 50 points, man. What else can I do? What else can I do for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to get a longer conversation. Yeah. I agree. It's a tough spot for Portland right now. It really is.
Yes,
I never thought that Clyde Drexler would ever end his career in Portland. He talked about going back to Texas, his second and third year here. As a season ticket holder and being able to speak with those guys one-on-one like we're speaking with, that's all he talked about, is Texas, that every time you talk to him.
Wow.
He was never vested in the community like Dame is, invested in the community around Portland. And so those are some some comparisons with the years and that sort of thing. But there's some huge differences, and Clyde never did that sort of thing in Portland. That Dame has done. I would be surprised if Dame didn't finish out at least his 3 years in Portland. But if not, and we get a boatload of stuff, there's not a lot that we can do about it except hope that you get enough from a deal like that. You would think that if he did go somewhere, that we would get a whole shitload of picks and quality.
Oh, yeah.
Not a union type of a player, but some quality players in place. We'll see.
Wow. Gotcha. Interesting. Well, gentlemen, I know we went a little over time, but we want to get those last little thoughts in and show you some love from that perspective too. So it's good stuff. But hope you guys have a fantastic rest of the week, if you will. JQ, appreciate you jumping on. Curtis, keep fighting the fight. And Rob, we appreciate you getting those topics. And hope you've been having fun on your little expedition, man. You and Gina, man, it's been good seeing the pictures, man. So hope you've been having a good time as well. So yeah, here it is.
Kicking.
Yeah. I gained 4 pounds last week, man. I eat lobster ravioli, lobster rolls, lobster bisque, everything with lobster in it. I ate it. out there in the main coast, man. They were just pulling lobster right out of the water, man, making dishes with it. everything lobster, I was eating. Oh, man.
Wow.
We didn't have a bad meal. Not a single one. Everything was great.
Living your best life over there, man. I see you, man. So, anyway, all good.
Rob, towards the end of this month, I'll be coming back. I'll be coming to Florida. I'll send you a text, give you the date, see if you want to meet.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. I know I owe you dinner.
I'm glad you mentioned lobster this and lobster that. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you for my dinner.
Oh, wow. Good stuff.
You coming down to Orlando or where? Tampa or where?
Yeah, we got to go down to Orlando, so maybe we can meet somewhere.
Okay.
Maybe Winter Park. You know where Winter Park's at, right?
Hey, not Winter Park.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, Orlando's on an hour away from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, that's light work.
Mm-hmm. There it is. All right, gentlemen,
hey.
Have a good rest of your evening. We'll talk soon. Oop, go ahead. Curtis. Good deal.
Yeah, thank
appreciate you.
You
guys. Yep. Till the next one.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Nice.